I'm Angela Collier, co-founder of Angela Collier Skincare and celebrity esthetician. I love beauty because beauty makes me feel connected to who I am. I love what beauty does in terms of how it makes you feel.
From New York City, you're listening to Beauty is Your Business, covering the intersection of innovation and business in the beauty industry.
Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Beauty is Your Business. I am excited because today we are buzzing about biotech skincare, and I am pleased to welcome my guest, Angela. Angela, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here, Jessica. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I think the brand that you have built is absolutely stunning. And I've been looking forward to this conversation and spending some time with you to really understand the background and the way that you think about developing the products and bringing them to market, and especially with your unique customer base and the clientele that you have coming in into your skincare center. So let's start at the beginning. Walk us through the genesis. What made you wake up one day and say, I'm going to start my own brand?
Well, I woke up first at 23 years old wanting to become an esthetician. So it's that experience and working with so many other skincare brands over all of those years and really getting close with my customers. And that was working at Ulla Henriksen Spa here in West Hollywood. And I just saw a need. There was so much misinformation about natural brands at that time. And I just wanted to use all of my experience and passion for this consumer, which is my client base, which is these major celebrities who are obviously type A, who want the best. And I wanted to provide that. And I just knew that a lot of the skincare lines out there were just filled with marketing promises. And I wanted to really dive deep into what I learned on how ingredients really react to skin, which is the advantage of an esthetician who also helps to formulate. We see in real time versus any chemist or any doctor how skincare reacts to the skin. And we interview each person we work on.
You see a hole, you see an opportunity to have some amazing products that deliver on the efficacy. So what's your first step? You reached out to a contract manufacturer, you started playing in your kitchen. What did you do to start developing these products?
Actually, this is a great story. I was working at Ulla Henriksen Spa, and I had started working on a lot of, he had sold the spa. So there was a lot of celebrities coming in. I built this base up. And one day, Barbara Streisand's assistant came in. I didn't know who she was. She was like 26. And she told me what she did. I said, wow, if you ever want to offer her a facial, I'll do it for free and I'll go to her. And she said, wow, her birthday's next week. Let me talk to the team. And I was like, oh God, her birthday's next week. I might be giving Barbara a facial after all. So sure enough, she reached out to me the next day and Barbara approved the facial. You don't just surprise Barbara with a facial. She approved it. And I was approved. So I went in for her birthday, gave her a facial, and she had a facial room, of course, which she hadn't touched in years. She had the steamer, blah, blah, blah. But I brought a lot of my equipment. And it was a 2-hour facial. It was the longest facial I'd ever given. And I grew up just, my mom was obsessed with Barbara Streisand. So I remember, and I told Barbara this in the middle of her facial. We talked the whole time. Basically, I said my mom, when I was like 11, told me to watch Yentl. This is the first female director, writer, star of a film. Angela, watch this. And I told her she inspired me. And then she said, yeah, it's a shame that Hollywood hasn't changed much since then. And she said she was 40 when she got that done. And then she said to me, how old are you? And I said, 40. And then she opened her eyes in the middle of the facial, looked up at me with her Brooklyn girl that speaks the truth. And she said, well, what's your dream? And to have that asked upon me when I had just gone through a divorce, I was working as a facialist. I said, well, to have a skincare line. Like, she put me on the spot where I actually had to come up with an answer. And it was something I wasn't thinking of at that moment until she asked. So she took me into her bathroom after, showed me all of her products. It was in another part. It was another house on the compound, which was such an honor to go into her bathroom. It was all pink. And she's like, well, what should I be using? So I grabbed all the products because I knew so much about the different products she had just on her shelf. And I received a package the next day from her with a beautiful 8x10, thanking me, signing it. And I was so empowered by that, that I started calling labs that very day because I had someone who believed in me. And that's what I needed. So that was when I started reaching out to labs. That was 11 years ago extremely hard to find a natural lab 11 years ago. A lot of them said, yeah, we do natural products. And I was just like, oh, here's all your silicones and that. So it took a while to get to the right labs.
So then talk to me about some of those first products and the conception that you had. What was it kind of going through Barbara's bathroom and knowing what you were lacking and looking for to really help with your client's skin? What were some of the, other than natural, of course, but what were the other things you were doubling down on or thinking about and wanting to make sure were inside your formulas?
The lipid barrier of the skin. Remember, I started giving facials on celebrities at 23 years old. I'm 52. And at that time, she was always in her 40s because she could afford the facials. So I've spent like 30 years working on women in her 40s, roughly. And that's still my client base now. So I see what happens to that skin. And we start to lose our sebum production. We hear a lot about losing elastin and collagen, which causes laxity, which is, makes sense. But no one really talks about how you lose your sebum production. It slows down. So that is your own moisturizer. So women are drier and their fine lines are more pronounced. Their barriers are sensitized by all of the retinols, all the vitamin C's that don't work with their skin, the cleansers that are too drying. So I really wanted to go in there and create something with a technology, and I call it lipid lock technology, your lipid barrier, the outermost layer of skin, to deliver something bioidentical to our own sebum deep within our skin. Our skin recognizes, like, ah, oh, come on in. And all of a sudden, you look more youthful, and it's actually working long-term as well. So the lipid lock technology is a natural meadow foam seed oil, which has the highest amount of ceramides of anything in terms of the, also the ceramides are usually made synthetically. So this is 90% ceramides for an oil. And it has the same molecular structure, almost identical to our own sebum of all the oils. So it delivers that back and it brings all the other ingredients deeper into your skin. So that is in every product I've launched. And that's how you get the clinical studies I've done for every product on the instant hydration and moisturization, which a lot of products just sit on your skin. So always the lipid barrier was important to me, and seeing how many other products sensitize that, even the retinols, all of these things, I just wasn't buying it. And I wanted to create something different.
Ah, fantastic. So now you've got a lab, you're starting to work on it and so forth. How did you utilize the, you've obviously got the education and the background being a facialist, but how did you utilize your clientele base? How did you really come to market? Were you able to tap into that from the beginning? Did you immediately go out and get funding to make that, actually physically produce the products and bring them to market?
I started working on the products while I was working at the spa, Ulla Henriksen here. And I knew that if I wanted to launch a product line, I needed to have my own spa. You can't launch a product line working in another brand spa. So I had a celebrity client give me $10,000 and said, pay me back when this means nothing. Go open your own studio, do something small somewhere. So I found an enclave in Bel Air, which is the most beautiful area of Los Angeles. And it worked with the rent. It was upstairs and I did it pink and I did it super cute. All my celebrities followed me, which you'd never know if they will. And they did. And once I got the spot, I knew now I can move forward with my skincare line. The problem was I didn't have much money. So I just started dating at the time, my now husband. He didn't have much money either, but he had a retirement fund. And he kept asking me about, because I had already done QVC for another brand. I sold out. I had this amazing celebrity clientele and he was a Hollywood producer. And he kept asking me questions. And I said, do you want to get on the lease with my spa? Is that it? He said, no, it's that product line you've got over here in your white jars that you're sending to your celebrities that love it. He said, I want to invest in that. I want to put some of my retirement. Let's form a company. And we did that 3 months after meeting. And luckily it worked out. Otherwise, I would never have the proposal and I wouldn't be married. So thank God I didn't screw that up with my skincare.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So now you're starting to make product, you've got the funding, you're coming to market, and it's early days. I mean, 11 years ago is vastly different. Well, how long did it take you to develop?
I launched almost 8 years ago. So it took me that long.
That makes total sense. So even 8 years, obviously vastly different than where it is today. What were some of those early strategies that you did to come to market, to make it available? Did you keep it uber exclusive and only have it for your clients? Or did you start to think about the greater marketplace?
Well, one thing I learned, remember being a facialist for so many years, it's tiring and you only make money when you are moving your hands working. So I wanted to be able to make money when I sleep. So at some point I can retire. So I knew that I wasn't going to just sell to my facial clients. I wanted retail space and I wanted it not to be a spa brand. I wanted it to be on the shelves of Neiman Marcus, blah, blah, blah. So that was what I knew immediately. I wanted everyone to have access. So at that time, 8 years ago, it wasn't quite as competitive. There wasn't really celebrity skincare, but it was still competitive. And I knew of Violet Grey. They were really big 8 years ago. And I actually held my inventory and told my husband, we want that exclusive at Violet Grey. They can help build this. So we held on to our products for 2 months so we could launch, I think it was in October of 2017 or something like that. So I knew to do that. And that was my megaphone. And I launched with 4 skincare products and 1 rose quartz roller. No one was using rose quartz rollers at the time. That took off. Violet Grey, it's still their most watched video. So they did a video with me and Jamie Syke, their beauty director. I was explaining how to use a rose quartz roller. So what happened was that blew up and Net-a-Porter started carrying it. It's still their most read blog or video, how to watch, how to learn how to use the roller. All the beauty editors wanted to write about the roller. So I got all this distribution in the Neiman Marcus that I wanted, the Space NK, blah, 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 with the skincare line. But they were so excited about that roller. They were promoting that more. I wasn't able to get the samples. I couldn't afford to get the little samples. I was making my money off the roller and I became known for the roller, which was good and bad because my passion is the skincare. And whoever used the skincare was obsessed with it. The ratings were insane, but I became known for the roller. And we built the roller industry, which feels good. We built the tool industry because that was after the roller. So we did a lot with the category, but my love is my skincare. So I pulled back on all the tools right before the pandemic, focused on product development. And that's where we are now. We've won skincare awards for every product, all 4. And now we have a 5th product, which is what we can talk about, the Cell Forte Serum, which basically is a relaunch. It's into science and luxury. I launched again with an exclusive at Violet Grey because I knew that would help build. I said, you built me with the roller, which was good and bad. So now you need to show some love here. So they did, and their customer base loved it. We sold out within an hour at Violet Grey of launch, October 1, because it's a breakthrough first to market. That is a new trajectory for my whole business. And we're building that franchise of capitalizing on what we know best, which is how skin reacts to products. And we found a white space in the longevity skin space with utilizing something that is very medical grade, human stem cell conditioned media.
Okay, well, I definitely want to jump into that. But I want to wrap up this conversation because I think what you touch on is such a key thing. And many founders and marketing directors, managers, it's hard when you come to market with something like, you know, this amazing skincare line and the roller is the thing that takes off, right? So the fact that you followed your gut and said, look, I'm going to lean in, I've got these tools and they're doing well. But the truth is where I really can make a difference in this industry, where I can make a difference in a woman's skin or man's skin is in my actual skincare line. And so it's hard. It's a really brave move to say I'm pulling back on the tools that are driving some of our expansion and our success, and really where the focus and growth should be is in the skincare line. So I applaud that because it's really hard. And it's something I know I speak with clients about a lot is what's really going to fill a white space, fill a need for the consumer versus, you know, what's right now looking like it potentially is the right thing. So I think that's quite fascinating that you were able to do that. And then you almost doubled back down, went back into the lab and really started to focus on product development. And right before, obviously, COVID, which really meant, which we all saw, especially in luxury skincare, that market boomed because now we were at home and we weren't getting our facials. So we were using better, higher quality products and investing in those. And here you are ready to go with new products. So timing sometimes is also just, it's just how it works out, which is amazing.
And, you know, being proactive, when that happened, when COVID hit, I lost doors. Like obviously a lot of people did. I was in 7, my highest performing doors were Space NK in New York and LA and even Texas. So when that shuttered because of the pandemic, I lost a large part of my revenue. So in thinking quickly as an entrepreneur, within the first week or second week of COVID, I was already ordering on Amazon these really cool pink, big cosmetic cases. And I was making facial kits because women couldn't go get facials. So on my D2C website, I was pushing a facial kit. I was doing so much video content on how you can't go get your facial. Here's a kit. And I would discount it. We ended up doing so well with that. We covered the lost revenue from Space NK. We covered it with our D2C with this kit. And then I ended up purchasing and creating my own same pink bag with my name branded because it was going so well with that quick And that's what happens when you don't have investors. It's just you and your husband running it. I just went on Amazon and ordered this really cool pink bag and created a kit within a day on my site. And that's how we lifted the revenue to stay in business. So the biggest advice and one of the fun things about being an entrepreneur is having that mobility to make decisions quickly and move fast, which is fun.
And what I love about that story too is you jumped out and got a bag and so forth in a really convenient way, but you also did the full 360 marketing piece of it because you created content. You made sure you touched social, website, everywhere that your customer could have been potentially looking. You had created the marketing to support it, because if you had just bought the bag and thrown the bag up on your D2C site, it would have done okay. But the fact that you had content and videos and how-tos and doing all the things that help that consumer at home, one, come across it and find it, and then two, understand what to do with it and why they need it, that's the whole package. So it's bigger than just the bag, which was the starting point. So congratulations on that, because I do think we sometimes forget, like, just because we make it, that it's going to be there and somebody's going to want it. But we have to drive that demand. We have to drive that thirst. And you're doing that with your content. And the fact that, you know, obviously through Violet Grey and through Net-a-Porter, they have a track history of how you go about creating the right content so that people want it. And then demand comes.
Yeah. And even at that time, Violet Grey and Net-a-Porter saw my content, what I was doing. And they said, hey, get on our site and do how to do a facial at home with your products to help us sell. So all of a sudden I was on their feeds doing it, which was great.
Right. I mean, and that is, it's kind of the ripple effect, right, of how that works. And I think as a, from a consumer lens, we start to try to find those that we trust as well. So it's like, hey, you know, I've seen this a couple of times. Oh, when they say this, I believe them. Or when they talk about this, I know it. Versus it being, hey, she just talks about anything. So it's that authenticity as a content provider, as well as meeting what the needs are, what people are really out there trying to find and solve for, which you obviously knew with your background.
So I love doing both. I love helping, teaching, and doing content. So it works.
Well, okay. So you hinted at some new product. Let's dive a little bit into that and what's coming, and tell us a little bit about the science that went into that.
Well, it was probably 11 years ago when I was at Ulla Henriksen Spa. When it was a new owner, they picked up a serum, which was $300. And 11 years ago, that was like $600. And I was like their top seller of everything, their new face, the products. I had all the celebrities. And he said, Angela, you know, try this, try and sell this, blah, blah, blah. And it was made with human stem cell conditioned media. And we were told it was derived from baby foreskin from a woman in San Diego. And it was really one serum, very basic packaging, never heard of the brand. And we were just like, oh boy. So we used it and we were like, whoa. And then my clients were like, wow, this works. It was very watery. And what happened was that company didn't last because of obviously the way they were driving it. But I never forgot the efficacy of that human stem cell conditioned media. And I have a client who is a big Hollywood writer and he's straight. And he, over the years, he's always been my client for like 12 years. He was just like, Angela, when's that baby dick serum coming back? And I was just like, oh my God, that's so much to say. And he kept asking because he knew how well it worked. So finally he's like, why don't you do a bit? And I'm like, no, I'm working on this stuff, lipid lock. And then there came a point when I was introduced to it again in a very ethical way. My mom was diagnosed with dementia, vascular dementia. I was looking for regenerative medicine opportunities for her and her brain health. Came across this incredible stem cell research lab, which is one of the foremost in the country that does all the research for medical conditions of the brain. And they were working on basically a culture, which is for wound healing. And I really liked the woman. I said, let's talk, because I knew the efficacy. And you know, we've been working on this serum along with my chemist for many years, and we just launched it at Violet Grey. And it's just really different in terms of the efficacy because we're able, and it's only sold in the US. You can't sell this anywhere else, which makes it even more coveted because it's such a US thing. It's not allowed to be sold anywhere else. So it's very exclusive, and the price point is higher because it's very expensive for us to get it and make it. But the clinical studies are off the charts. It does everything you would want laser or Retin-A to do without any downtime. And it does it faster and your skin is healthier. It's unbelievable.
So how did you come about the clinical studies? Did you partner with the labs? Had they already had clinicals on the ingredient and you were able to maximize those? Because when you walk out with this type of an ingredient, I mean, you really have to think about how the marketing is going to be in order to talk about it correctly and so that the consumer can really understand what it is that they're getting. So help me understand how you went about that.
Yeah, we took it very seriously because there was a lot of risk involved as well with people thinking it's from embryonic stem cells, which is not good. So the education was really important. And we were very transparent. We're super transparent as a company. So I always explain everything. So we had a link to the lab. It's cGMP certified. It's not just GMP certified. It's cGMP certified, clinically good manufacturing practices. I did a video from the lab. I did lives with the scientists, the stem cell scientists. So I wanted to make sure they understood it's from healthy consenting adults. It's not even from the bone marrow. It's from 1 teaspoon of adipose tissue from healthy consenting FDA cleared women who were healthy, 20 to 21 years old. And the interesting part is from 1 teaspoon of adipose tissue fat, there are 1 million MSCs, mesenchymal stem cells. Our lab is able to duplicate and create more, up to 22 million from the 1 million within a 2-month process of how we do it. It's all hand done and it's DNA free. So what we're taking is not the stem cell that would never survive in a jar. It would never go into your skin. It's what the stem cell drinks and excretes, which is the real magic. And yes, that includes exosomes, but it's not so big a deal. The exosomes people are talking about, like it's just the holy grail. That's just the vehicle that carries the thousands of growth factors that are in the stem cell conditioned media, the thousands of proteins, cytokines, calm inflammation, reduce the look of pigmentation, fine lines and wrinkles, and basically stimulate collagen and brighten the skin. It's just regenerating the skin, and it's unbelievable. And there's a lot of efficacy, and we can only do it in the US. So this is something exclusive for the US. We are building out the line with bioidentical versions so we can sell that in China and Europe as well in the pipeline.
And so is the format then only a serum base, or do you see and have an opportunity to continue and franchise this within the product portfolio, or is it really set to this type of base?
Well, this is the perfect base because it's a serum. So, but this is just the first. We have a whole pipeline for 2 years of other products in this franchise to accompany the cutting edge science with the luxury element. So we have a whole pipeline set. Just because this is performing so well. We have a 49% repurchase rate. We have 30% our subscriptions with our revenue each month on our website. It's gone up 5 times our website revenue, and it's consistent every month. 80% of that is Cell Forte. So this is the driver, and women are loving it. If you look at the reviews on the site, you just don't see reviews like that.
So when you have a product that's priced like this, that's revolutionary in the science that's behind it, I mean, it sounds like you have a strong D2C plan for it, but how do you get around the kind of the sample or to try it or to see the results type of idea? Do you have a different campaign for this because you want people to be able to touch and feel it? Or is it really a, hey, jump in and take a risk and trust that you're going to love it?
Yeah, that's a great question because it's really interesting to me. As we launched this October 1st, there are so many first-time customers. No one's really asking for samples. They're just buying it. And I was surprised at that. I just think they know what stem cells are. This is a different demographic. You know, we look up her address. She's living in a $12 million home in Montecito or in the Hamptons. She knows what stem cells are. She knows the efficacy. And she trusts that I'm an expert with 30 years experience. My clients are Barbara Streisand, Alexander Daddario. You know, we've got Anya Taylor-Joy. It's just like, she trusts me, which is great. So she's buying it. She doesn't need a sample. She's buying it. And then she's buying another and another, and she's freaking out. So in terms of distribution, we are looking at other luxury players at this time to build that out. But this is just the one which is only available in the US, and we'll do another franchise of other science and luxury products to build around it with the same bioidentical.
Yeah, but I think what you bring up is a really interesting point about knowing who your customer is, because you are in the uber luxury side. So knowing who and what she needs, right? So the fact that one, you've obviously built credibility and in what you are have done and who you are, and then the fact that you have the clinicals that back this up.
You have to. Yeah, that's a no-brainer. So we have to have that. The before and afters are all up on the site, clinicals.
Yeah, exactly. So for this luxury client, they will jump in and say, I'm ready to try this. And it will be interesting if you do open some more bricks and mortar or in more of the luxury spaces and so forth, that like what they experience, if they want to come in and touch it, or if they're like, I came specifically for this, thank you for having it, because she does know what she wants.
Yeah, that will be interesting. I think it's just such a differentiator. No one's kind of got this, so they know it's unique and only available in the US. You need touch points. You need to touch and feel and see the product. But with this, it's been really easy, which is so fascinating.
I feel like that could be a whole marketing case study in itself. And I think it just comes down to customer segmentation and knowing what the type of product you're selling and who you're selling it to, how that marketing strategy aligns. And in this case, this aligns perfectly with who this customer would be that wants it and needs it, how they go about finding it. I think the fact that you're also very exclusive in this space, right? You can't just go and find you, which is a good thing because that's the type of discerning customer that's looking for this.
Yeah, we're going where she is. We just launched at the Beverly Hills Hotel. They have a spa that's open to the public. They're actually offering the Angela Collier facial and they're selling the product line. So, and also the Conrad LA. So we're really trying to go where she is. We're going to be launching a big launch in New York in a couple weeks where my customer shops. So I just want to go where she is and stay loyal to her and keep the distribution tight for now to build.
It makes total sense. How do you build your company and your team then, knowing that you've got this vision for where you're going? Is your team the same? Is it quite small and exclusive so that you can be very specific about what you need? How have you kind of built that out to support the brand?
Well, we had to be very careful with that because a lot of companies will go in and hire a bunch of people that need other people to help them, and then you can't afford your payroll. Our team is really tight. We don't have employees. It's just my husband and myself, and we contract out. Right now, we're bringing in some really experienced, like fractional people to help, CEO duties, CFO duties, which is so awesome. But we're keeping it tight just because if we're going this direction, if I'm not launching at Sephora, I'm not going to need a big Sephora team. So if I'm just keeping it tight with my luxury distribution, I can keep my team tight. So we're actually looking for a raise right now. We've done a small raise and we are looking to do another one to help build it out, build the product line and a little bit more team.
Oh my gosh. Well, congratulations, because that in itself is a big undertaking, but also it's a really great step for a brand to be at that point. So congratulations. Angela, so walk me through the next few years. You're obviously developing more. You've kind of leaned into this amazing new technology and science, and you have a very clear vision of who your customer is. What are one or two things that you think about that keep you up, that are the things in your head that are you're trying to solve for right now?
Well, again, just finding her. I think it's important because I know I have incredible products. I know everyone loves them, the people that I work on. I want to find her and go where she is. So I'll look at other distribution channels. I'm going to look into the medical spa category. I'm going to look into opening in my own freestanding and in a hotel or so, you know, like similar to where Tata Harper did that, the Bristol in Paris. I want more of a presence where they can see whether that's a pop-up in New York at a certain time of year, or just kind of building out the brand where she can walk by and see it and go in and touch and feel, like you mentioned. I think that's important to have the physical component.
Oh, that's fantastic. So Angela, if anybody does want to reach out to you, if they want to get in contact with you, how could they go about doing that?
Well, they can go to my website, angelacollier.com. It's C-A-G as in girl, L-I-A, the G is silent like lasagna. They can go to my website and there's an email there. They can reach me or they can go to my Instagram and DM. I'm usually on that a lot. That's at Angela Collier Skincare.
Fantastic. Well, I absolutely loved being able to dive into this brand and you a little bit more and have a deeper, richer understanding of this space. We haven't had a luxury brand on in a while. So thank you for coming on and sharing your knowledge and your expertise. It's been an absolute pleasure having you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking with you, Jessica.
And if you want to continue buzzing with me, head on over to buzzbeauty.com.
This has been Beauty is Your Business, produced by Mouth Media Network. Keep in touch on Instagram and Facebook at Mouth Media Network and find prior episodes at beautyisyourbusiness.com and wherever the best podcasts are found. Your brand message can be on this show. Email us to find out more at podcast@mouthmedianetwork.com. Thank you for listening.